All right, good morning once again, everybody. As most of you know, we are continuing to work our way through Jesus' Sermon on the Mount that we find in Matthew chapter 5. So if you'd like to open up Bibles to Matthew 5, we will be continuing there today, working our way through the very beginning of this sermon, the Beatitudes. And before I jump into it today, I just had a thought this week about this Beatitudes I wanted to share with you all. Each one of these blessings that Jesus points out has to do with something going on in our lives that are often reasons to be upset, to be worried, to complain about, whether you're in mourning, you feel poor in spirit, you're lacking ability, you're meek, you're persecuted, right? So many of these things that Jesus points out are reasons that we often feel down about life. But the very important thing to recognize that Jesus is doing here is saying we are blessed when we experience those things. We are blessed. He wants us to understand the world differently than we often do in just our normal human way of thinking. He's to recognize all of these as opportunities to draw close to God and depend on Him and to receive from Him. So think about that as you go through your days. When you experience things that often cause negative emotions, there's a blessing to be found in those moments. They're not reasons to complain or grow bitter about life, feeling like you're lacking, but rather opportunities to come close to God and receive His blessing, to discover a new way of viewing the world and a new way of living in relationship with God. It's one of the big things that Jesus is pointing out here. So we are going to take a closer look at verse 7 today. In verse 7, we read, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." Blessed are the merciful. So I want to spend some time considering what it really means to be merciful. What is this that Jesus is highlighting today? And I have found that that word, mercy, or merciful, is one of those fairly common words that I feel like I have an understanding of. So when I read a statement like this, I just kind of read past it and like, oh yeah, I know what that means, and I continue on. But that's one of the really challenging things about reading the Bible and studying and understanding God's Word. We can read through it and feel kind of a sense of accomplishment that we've read it, we know what it says, but have we really stopped to consider what it really is saying, what it's really calling us to? When I stopped to think about how I would describe mercy today, I realized I have a hard time putting it into words, actually. And as I thought about what the definition of mercy is, it raised a lot of questions for me. I had to spend some time really asking myself, what exactly is mercy? So we don't always fully understand these things, even though they seem familiar to it. And I just want to encourage you in your Bible study, take some time, even with these seemingly simple statements, to understand what God is calling us to. So let's try to understand what mercy is. What does it mean to be merciful? And there are a couple of important points to consider. The first is that being merciful is an active thing. Mercy is an active follow-up to having compassion for someone. So compassion is a feeling of concern for someone else who's suffering or someone who's in need. When Jesus heard how distraught Mary and Martha were over the death of their brother Lazarus, John 11 says that Jesus came and he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. That's compassion. He cared about how they were feeling. And there's some empathy in there. He was troubled in his own spirit along with them. So he had compassion and empathy for Mary and Martha. In Matthew 14, we read that Jesus stepped off a boat and he saw this great crowd who had followed him. They had come following after him, trying to receive some healing from him. And John writes that he had compassion on them and healed their sick. So he was moved to take action by his concern for them. His compassion, that concern for them, led to the action of healing. That's the mercy that he showed them. Mercy is the benevolent treatment of someone who is suffering. To be merciful is to first have compassion and then be moved to do something to help relieve a person's suffering, to do something for their benefit. So as we consider what Jesus is saying in this beatitude, let's first stop and realize that Jesus calls us to take action for the sake of others. You will be blessed when you are merciful. Living by faith in Jesus is not a passive life. We're not called to sit back and enjoy God's presence and observe the suffering of the people around us and just feel bad for them, hoping and praying that something would be done to relieve their suffering or to make the world a better place. And frankly, I find that attitude to be very common in our world. People notice the hardships of others and they say, oh no, how terrible. They shouldn't have to suffer like that. And then they say, well, somebody should do something. And then they just go on with their lives. Very often, people are waiting for someone else to step up and make a difference. Or we say that those people made their own choices and they need to take care of them, care of themselves. They need to fix their lives. That's not what Jesus calls us to do. Very often, we're too busy or distracted or whatever to be bothered by other people's problems. But Jesus says to be merciful. And this reminds me of Jesus' parable of the Good Samaritan in Luke 10. I thought we could take a look at that this morning. Luke chapter 10. We'll read through parts of this together, beginning in verse 25. So Jesus was prompted to tell this parable by a lawyer who was trying to put him to the test to see what Jesus would say. So Luke 10, verse 25, we read, on one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? Jesus replied, how do you read it? And he answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, you've answered correctly. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, well, who is my neighbor? And in reply, Jesus tells this parable. I just want to pause there before I continue on. Basically, this man who's testing Jesus hears, he knows what God's word says. You should love God and love your neighbor. This is how Jesus defined fulfilling God's commands. But this guy says, okay, who really is my neighbor, Jesus, right? How far do I have to go with this love thing? He's really looking for how can I limit who my neighbor is so I only have to do the bare minimum, basically. Which is very much the human sinful heart. We just want to do what we have to be seen as good. So Jesus tells this parable. I'm sure many of us are familiar with it, but let's read it. Verse 30. Jesus says, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road when he saw the man. He passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any expenses you may have. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robber? Jesus asked. And the expert of the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. And I think the key to understanding this parable is to recognize who these people are. The man who was robbed and left half dead on the street was a Jewish man. And so the priests and the Levite, who are fellow Jews, should have at least, in this story, recognized him as a neighbor. He's a brother belonging to the same family. And not only that, these are religious leaders called to take responsibility for the welfare of the Jewish people. Of all the people in this story, they should have been the ones to stop and do something about this man's suffering, and yet they crossed the street and walked away. The Samaritans and the Jews, however, had a hostile relationship dating back centuries. They did not like each other at all. They did not interact with one another. Those dirty Samaritans, right? And yet it was the Samaritan who stopped, who felt compassion for this man and took mercy on him. And this is what drives Jesus' point home. Your neighbor that God commands you to show love to includes those considered to be your mortal enemies. Jesus calls on us to get past our prejudices, to set aside our differences, to look at even those you feel justified about despising as fellow human beings who have hearts that beat like yours, who face hardships and need help. And he calls on us to have compassion on them and then get outside ourselves and take merciful action on their behalf. Jesus calls us to take action on behalf of anyone we come across in this world, no matter who they are, no matter how much you despise them. Be merciful toward them. And we also need to understand that being merciful is not just showing kindness and doing nice things to people, for people. There is a slight difference. Sometimes those words are used interchangeably. People will say compassion and mercy and kindness and loving kindness are all kind of the same thing, but they have their slight differences. And mercy is a little bit different than just being kind. And there's an aspect of mercy that we can understand from God's response toward us as sinners. Romans 5:8 says, "But God shows his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is a primary point of the gospel. We suffer under the consequences of sin in this world, whether it's our sin, the sins in the world. And Jesus had compassion on us even though we were still sinners. We didn't do anything to correct the situation. We did not deserve to have his help. And yet Jesus died for us. He took merciful action on behalf of people who did not earn what he offered freely. When we sin against God, justice demands that we pay the penalty for that sin. We are guilty, and we deserve God's judgment. Paul wrote in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." The penalty of our sin is death, an eternal separation from God, and we deserve it. There's no reason for any of us to think we deserve to escape God's judgment. But Jesus stepped in and took the penalty upon himself to save us. The rest of Romans 6:23 says, "The free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Jesus took the sentence that we deserve upon himself. God had mercy on us by accepting Jesus' sacrifice as payment for our sins. Something we didn't deserve. We did not have to suffer the penalty we deserved because Jesus provided for us and we are set free through him and our faith in him. So mercy, more than just being kind, is providing assistance that is undeserved and unearned. Mercy steps in when a person is powerless and even unaware of how they put themselves in the situation to give them a hand up. Now, mercy doesn't contradict justice. Sometimes I've struggled with that, like it feels like they're opposing things, but really mercy isn't a contradiction of justice. It fulfills the demands of justice in a different way, in a way that provides for forgiveness and reconciliation so that the person doesn't need to suffer any further. This is what Jesus did. He paid the penalty for us. It's important to understand. Justice was fulfilled because Jesus took our death upon himself. And so he fulfilled the demands of justice. So when we put these things together, we can understand that being merciful is taking action on behalf of another person, even when they don't deserve it. Mercy says, instead of allowing you to be alone in the suffering, to deal with the consequences of maybe your own actions, or the circumstances you're living in on your own, I'm going to come alongside you and see if we can find a path that blesses you and helps you overcome these things. And this can be really challenging because it stretches our faith in God so much. We want to see people move forward in life. I'm sure we've experienced people who need help, and they just continue to take the help and don't seem to move forward at all. We don't want to see them taking advantage of those things. We don't want them to keep taking what's provided and not doing anything with it. We want assurances of some kind that this person is going to maybe move closer to God as Christians. We want people to know Jesus and not just keep coming for help. And while there are ways that we can work to honor Jesus when we take action on a person's behalf, and we can always do our best to help in ways that don't just enable harmful or sinful lifestyles, there really are no guarantees. And Jesus doesn't call on us to withhold help from certain people. He simply says to be merciful. That can be challenging at times. Just to be merciful, to follow his example of showing mercy to sinful people just like us. And I think we need to be careful not to withhold mercy out of concern that it's going to be misused, but rather to act wisely as we can and trust the outcome to Jesus. God is the one who will execute final judgment, and he calls us to be his hands and feet in the world, hands and feet of mercy. We must always remember the example that he gave us of being merciful to all. Jesus was known, I remind myself almost daily, that he was known to be a friend of sinners. And not every one of those sinners turned to God. Some of them did. And perhaps after a long time, they finally did. We just never know when it will make a difference. But Jesus continued to be kind and merciful. And he calls on us to be the same. And it's important to remember that there is a blessing that comes from being merciful. Jesus says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." Now that's an incredible promise. The merciful shall receive mercy themselves. It's important to understand that that's not a transaction that we make with God. It's not that Jesus is saying, "You show mercy to one person and then you earn mercy from me." Right? We're not building up points so that God, we can redeem them with God. That's not God's character. God has already shown us endless mercy before any of us was even born. Before our first act of sin, before we ever come to know him, God has already given us a lifetime of mercy. So Jesus does not say, if you are merciful, you will receive mercy. He just says the merciful will receive mercy. Because there's something powerful about giving yourself for the sake of other people. Countless people have discovered the richness in their own lives that comes from taking merciful action on another's behalf, to being a help to them. Their own lives are enriched because they get outside themselves and they do something for the sake of others. And through acts of mercy, we are reminded often of God's mercy toward ourselves. And we come to understand his character in new ways. We see him at work more often when we step outside ourselves and we come alongside other people. And we learn to live in greater dependence on him as we reach out to others and pray for them. Being merciful opens our heart to receiving God's grace and mercy more freely. And that is an incredible gift. We receive God's mercy so much more freely when we ourselves are merciful. Now, I mentioned in there that being merciful causes us to live in a greater dependence on God, because truly becoming merciful comes from a place of deep humility, an awareness that of what we are lacking, of being poor in spirit. Mercy does not come from a place of pride, thinking, well, look at me and all that I have that I can give to other people in need, how they need me to provide for them. That's not mercy. That's just pride, and it's blind and short-sighted arrogance. Mercy comes from an understanding that you are also dependent on others, that you have need, that you cannot get through this world on your own. And that leads you to a place of understanding that there may be others that God places around you that could benefit from what he provides you to give to them. A truly merciful heart is a humble heart, a poor in spirit heart that knows that we all need God. And it sees that as a blessing that God has given you an opportunity to come alongside another person for such a time as this. Understanding your own lack is what allows you to empathize with the struggles of another person and to have compassion for them, and then take action that's rooted in the knowledge of what God has done for you and is making available through you. So let's read this beatitude again. Let's read it together. Why don't we? Matthew 5, 7. Let me read it right from the text here. Matthew 5, 7. I'll start us off. Join me in saying this. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. What was that? Let's do it again. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Just let that sink in for a moment. There's a great blessing that comes from showing mercy to others. So how well have you understood this promise in your own life and invited this blessing from God into your life? Can we be more like the Samaritan, willing to set aside his differences with this wounded person and set aside his own journey to give up his own money to help a neighbor who has done nothing to earn his favor? Who are the neighbors around you struggling with life? Maybe even as the result of their own choices. Do we just shake our heads in judgment, thinking they're getting what they deserve? Or do we remember what Jesus did for us in spite of what we deserve? Do we feel compassion but pray for someone else to do something as our neighbors continue to struggle? Or do we get on our knees and ask God, Lord, help me to give something on behalf of this person, to help them move forward in life? Do we offer our lives to God and embrace the opportunities to be blessed through acts of mercy ourselves? Let's pursue this blessing from God with all of our hearts, to be merciful toward those around us. Let's pray and ask God for his blessing in our lives. Lord, we thank you for being here with us. We thank you for the ways that you have so richly blessed us. It's all good. Let's just pray. We thank you that you have so richly blessed us, and we thank you for these opportunities you give us to make a difference in the world on your behalf. Teach us to be merciful, Lord. Teach us to depend on you and to provide for one another. In Jesus' name, amen.